This is Jorge Gamebred Masvidal, the baddest motherfucker and the fighter of the year, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
That was always one of the better liners.
Yeah, the best.
All right, so some stuff that I want to talk about the third hour. We'll get to a baseball situation that that I happen to see. But God, give me your scenario.
All right, so I get word the other day that my boy is getting my hair cut, and he happens to be a BKFC fighter. And Royal Reber, and he tells me he's got a fight coming up, and I was like, cool, man. Like, let's get back in training camp. So I start training him. And then I get on Facebook, and I get another call from my boy Travis Thompson, the Animal, out of Philadelphia. Hopefully he's not outside breathing all that bad air today. And he's got a fight camp coming up. I'm like, cool, come on back now. Let's get you back in fight camp. And now I find out they're fighting at each other. So I'm going to be in red and blue corner. Now, this is the only time I hope that there's a draw. Because I can't play favoritism, but I got to give them both the same access to the GNAT, the same training, the same ice pass, the same recovery, the same knowledge and motivation and coaching. So, but I got two clients fighting each other, Randy, and I don't know what to do.
So what's the question?
So can I vote? Can I root for a draw? Like, do you know the judges? Can I get some favoritism? Maybe Izzy knows.
For once, I thought this was going to be a serious question and conversation. But again, you're an idiot.
Well, you said you couldn't even watch the Frank Trigg and Matt Hughes fight because you were invested.
I didn't. Right. I was invested. Right.
Emotionally.
Yeah.
Look at what I'm invested in. I'm training both of these guys to be the best they can be to knock out the other person.
Yeah.
When I get it, the business side of it, obviously they signed up. It's a job to do. It doesn't matter who you put in front of them. It's their job. So it's part of the game and the sport. But, I mean, now what if...
I'm waiting for you to ask a serious question, not stupidity.
So I'm already training Ryan because he's local. And Travis is coming down till the day after Father's Day, which is the 19th of June. So by calendar, Ryan's going to have more time and access to my training, to my concept.
Then I like Travis in the fight.
but I don't know if I can give it equal to the whole training. Yeah.
Again, equal.
Equal time.
Well,
equal
obviously you can't because Travis won't be here. And if you're being serious, here's the only thing that I would recommend.
Yeah.
That you let, and they probably do know, but you let both know.
I did. Okay. I told them.
Yeah. And as long as both of them are cool with it,
they are.
Like, I wouldn't trust you personally.
Trust me with what?
Training my opponent.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, because you have a big mouth. You do.
What would I say?
Who knows?
I'm not training them for the skill set. I'm not training them in the footwork and the boxing.
It's not.
I'm training them vertically, conditioning.
I understand.
And recovery of ice baths.
I understand. And I think all of that is fine. You know, I truly do. And I think both of them, just like many times friends fight. You know, Melvin Gillard fought Cowboy Cerrone. They were best friends. It's the competition thing.
Sure.
So I don't think that could be a problem. I don't think it would be a problem. It's where the person, in this case you, has a tendency to talk about something. You know, and you can say, oh, I won't, but it takes a lot on you not to repeat stuff. It could be something so minor that you see while you're training.
Like an injury or
like anything. Like I don't think you would. And again, you know me, I'm just speaking the, you know, what I feel is the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying you would do it and be vindictive about it, but the issue is, and that's why most of the time fighters would never allow this ever, you know, because you may, as you're trying to motivate one, oh yeah, well, Travis had a hard time.
Wow.
And as minor as that is, that's major.
Yeah, that's huge.
And so as long as you can keep both names out of your mouth, mm-hmm. which is hard. I know it.
Yeah.
I know you.
Yeah. Sure.
That's where the problem's going to be. Rooting, like I didn't root for Matt Hughes or Frank Trigg. And I said, and I've always said, I was going to be more upset for who lost than happy for who won. And that's tough, you know, and I would have been happy for Trigg if he had won. There's no doubt. Frank is like a brother to me, mm-hmm. but so is Matt. And so just like they can, now in that case, they did not and do not like each other. Even though this will show you how crazy the world is. All right. So when Matt Hughes got hit by the train.
Yeah.
And Matt Hughes was in a coma.
Uh-huh.
Matt Hughes comes out of a coma and he texts me. And I'm like, there is absolutely no way Matt Hughes is texting me. He remembers three things. And I'm one of those three. I found it hard to believe. I thought I was being catfished. I know I've talked about it. Uh-huh. I was able to say, like, I would say things to him. And I know that I've talked about this before. I said, so have you reached out to our baseball buddy? Well, what baseball buddy? I said, you know, the Dodger. Well, and he had no idea.
Brad Penny. Right.
Well, anybody who, like, he would have known Brad Penny.
Sure.
I mean, he'd been in Brad Penny's house. I still haven't been in Brad Penny's house. I haven't been in Matt Hughes' house. I've been to Europe with Matt. You know, I've been to the Kimbo fight with Brad. So I just found it strange that you remembered me and not Brad Penny. But I did find out as I continued to ask him, that I eventually saw him, and it was. He reached out to Frank Trigg. And Trigg thought the same thing.
Oh.
I'm being catfished. Why would Matt Hughes reach out to me? Well, that's one of the things that Matt remembered.
Wow.
So I'm just trying to tell the story in that I like them both equally. Now, the funny thing was Frank would always come up to me, kind of like the Rocky Balboa Apollo Creed, and he would say, sooner or later, I'm going to make you choose. And I had no idea what that meant. Mm. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then I wouldn't see him for 3 months. Because back in the day, a UFC fight was like every 4 months.
Right.
This went on for like a year. And then finally he goes, I'm going to make you pick. I'm going to make you choose, Matt or me. And I said, you'll never win. Never. Said it could be 51-49. You're close. It ended 50-50. I mean, I love both those guys. They're awesome, awesome guys. It was a tough fight to watch. But I didn't root. I didn't care who won. I didn't want either one to lose, if that, right. You know.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'll be difficult for you to train both of them. I just think it'll be difficult for you not to slip up.
Hmm. All right.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
Because something that, and you know, we always say that something, it's like one man's garbage is another man's treasure.
Sure.
Anything that you could say that you may not even feel is a negative could be taken as a negative / positive for the person you just told.
It's true. That's great advice. That's sound advice. I mean, it's as, you know, it's real as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. I mean, because both these guys trust me, right? And I have access to something that no one else has access to. So that
don't matter. It doesn't matter what you have access to.
Eventually, this will be the standard. If you don't train with me, you're not taking your career serious. Like, that's what it's going to come down to. At some point, everybody that combat
sports, I so badly want to reach out to Travis.
Do it.
Or the other guy.
Calm down.
No, either one. I want to reach out to him and talk him into not using you. And then we make sure they win. And then that'll be the happiest day of my life.
I'm there's nobody doing what I do.
I know there's nobody who does what you do.
Yeah.
Lack of. But anyway, that's the thing. And it doesn't matter what it is. I'm sure anything that any kind of exercise or movement is going to be helpful. And that's why I refuse to get on it. I don't want to be helpful. But I just think as long as you, to the best of you, that you can, you don't repeat anything, you don't film anything, because you film it, and you'll show somebody. You know, I won't say names, but, you know, people that are around here or whatever, and you just got to go with, you don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Because if whatever gets back to them, it's on you.
Sure. You're right.
You train them. Your job is to train them.
I've never had this situation. Never had to train both red and blue corner in the same fight.
Well, but you've had friends that, you know, or acquaintances. You know, Mike Richmond fought somebody that you've had on your thing. And, you know, so it's happened before.
Lorenzo.
Yeah, whoever. Yeah. Lorenzo.
Double champ.
You know, so calling out Belcher. And if I was Lorenzo, I'd want to fight Alan Belcher. If I was Lorenzo, I definitely wouldn't want to fight Ben Rothwell.
That's who you say is the next champ.
No, he is the next champ. He's just so much bigger than Alan Belcher. You know, and if Adams gets the fight, you know, which he's trying to get, and I didn't watch it, so I don't know what happened. You know, somebody fell on a rock and slipped on a banana peel or whatever it was. But yeah, I think Ben Rothwell, bigger, can take some fight, you know, take some.
Copeland put it on him, though.
He did.
Copeland brought a fight
to
the big man.
Like, he did.
You know, so I don't know if he's really invincible. It's like,
well, I'm not saying that he's invincible.
Because you're acting like he doesn't have to fight to take the title. I mean, that's what...
That's what
Pee Wee Kirkland did.
Honestly?
Right. Like, Pee Wee Kirkland couldn't believe that Fat Joe, like, didn't even have to play the championship game to get the Rutgers Park tournament for street ball.
I have no idea what you're talking about. But I think it's a very easy fight, Ben Rothwell over Alan Belcher.
You know what Rutgers Park is?
No.
It's in New York. It's like they had Rutgers, like the 3-on-3 basketball tournament.
The beauty is it's time to take a break so then we can do our BKFC segment.
That shows just, team didn't have to play to win the championship.
Just keep it to yourself.
That's what you're doing with Alan Belcher.
Just keep it to
giving
yourself.
Giving away his
post. This is Knockout Radio brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, and our newest sponsor, Bucked Up Energy. We'll be right back.
This is Gilbert El Nino Melendez, Strikeforce Lightweight Champ, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Saturday, June 24th, the UFC returns to Jacksonville. The heavy-handed Josh Emmett looks to turn back undefeated phenom Ilia Topuria, plus dangerous Brazilian Amanda Ribas. Takes on the future Macy Barber. Don't miss UFC Fight Night. Emmett versus Topuria, live from ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, it's Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the UFC strawweight, and you are listening to the Knockout Radio.
Everybody get up.
All right, we are back in a new live.
What? I like that. She's like, you're listening to the Knockout Radio.
She could stop.
But the Knockout Radio. Because everybody says, you're listening to Knockout Radio. But she put the Knockout Radio.
Good stuff. RIP to the Iron Sheik. Sad news that it came out a couple hours ago. We talked about it hour one. We'll talk about it a little bit more. But let's go back to the phone lines as we get ready for the return of BKFC. I believe it's 44.
44.
On
Great Falls, Montana.
This Friday. Let's welcome the main eventer. Going to join us for the very first time, Kai Stewart. Outcast, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you guys? Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for your time. What's it going to be like, you know, fighting for a title in basically your hometown? I understand you're both from Great Falls. What's that going to be like with that crowd and that atmosphere?
The atmosphere is going to be absolutely nuts. I have been wrestling in crowds in Great Falls for the better part of my career, and it's just been it's always been fire. All my fight, most of my fights in my career, MMA and BKFC have been in Great Falls. So just now we're starting to get new faces to hop on board the hype train, and we're just going to keep on chugging along.
Now, do you like that? We just talked to one of the UFC fighters, Dan Ige, who his last five fights was in his hometown in Vegas. He fights in Vancouver this weekend, and he was like, I'm looking forward to getting out of town, you know, looking forward to getting, you know, back out on the road. Would you, I mean, I know that you want to fight at home, obviously the crowds and stuff, but would you like to also get some fights, you know, away from Great Falls?
Absolutely. That's always on the bingo card, I guess. I do love fighting in my home crowd again because I get to sell tickets, so I make literally double the money. So I'm torn, but I would love to travel and see the world and use the fight world to do so. So
I was just going to say, well, there really is no decision if you're going to make twice the money selling tickets, but also if you can go to some cool, you know, other places on BKFC or an MMA promotion's dime, that's a win as well. But, you know, money talks, you know what walks, and yeah, I'd fight at home too.
Yep, absolutely.
So I did a little bit of research on you and your opponent, a lot of social media. It appears like a lot of bad blood. Is that the case?
Absolutely. The funny thing is that there is a lot of animosity between me and my opponent from like past things, but that kind of died off whenever he lost all his MMA fights and pulled out from me. So our beef actually died off until he started training under Joe Riggs, and me and Joe Riggs have crazy beef. So the beef really is between me and Louis's coach, and Louis's going to pay for what Joe has said to me and said about me. So that's the real beef, and that's what I can't wait to end it this Friday.
I've asked a lot of fighters this, and obviously you're going to fall into the same question. Would you be able to, once you get into the squared circle on Friday, you know the beef is there, but kind of let the beef go into the back so it's not, you know, driving you more than you need to be driven?
Absolutely, and I think that's going to be a big difference between me and my opponent on Friday night. I've wrestled over 1,000 matches in my life. This is my 14th or 15th combat sport appearance, and I'm just ready to compete. I have a job to do, because in the end of the day, grudges really don't matter as long as I'm making my money and doing what I need to do. And I've trained my butt off for this, and I just don't think he can take it from me at a competitive stance. And if he wants to bring all the anger in there, that's more stress on him. I'm ready to go.
Same basic question, but we're going to take your opponent out and the fact that it's for the featherweight title. Can you put that out of out of your mind, that it's just another fight? Or do you want that? You know, no, this is for a title and to beat a guy that I really don't like as coach.
Yeah, the title is cool. And I think ever since Conor McGregor put a title, BKFC title, and entered our ring over his shoulder, I knew I wanted to hold one of those belts, and I knew it before that, but after seeing how big BKFC is going to be I'm ready to go. And it's just and that's extra motivation. There's no pressure having the belt on the line. That's just motivation right there.
Well, that's, in my opinion, that's the best way to travel around the world, is, you know, just have the belt, and then you go to all the other fights in different cities, and you just sit and watch the fights, and you get to travel.
That would be ideal. Like the June 23rd fight, or June 24th, June 23rd in
23rd,
Florida.
Right.
I am absolutely. We've already bought our flights. I'm ready to go. Even if I didn't, like, for whatever reason, I don't get the belt, I'm just excited to go down and watch BKFC. I bleed black and yellow right now, and I love seeing the growth of it, and I love being a part of it.
Black and yellow, that was what Dusty Rhodes wore towards the end of his career, you know, the Bumblebee.
It's also a Wiz Khalifa song.
Oh, is it? Now, when you win the belt on Friday, are you going to be, and I'll tell you a story about it after, I mean, are you going to wear the belt everywhere? Are you going to wear it into the 7-Eleven? Are you going to wear it when you pump gas?
You know, the 7-Eleven, I don't know. I live kind of in a Great Falls has parts of it you don't want to go into a gas station after a certain time wearing a big shiny belt. But yeah, in terms of events, in terms of being out in public, I'm going to have that belt everywhere, just because I know it's going to chap some people. It's going to chap some people, and I can't wait to see the look on people's faces. I've earned this.
All right, so many, many moons ago, Tim Sylvia defeats Andre Orlovsky, wins his title back. We're in Anaheim. We have a mutual friend who I just talked about, Brad Penny. Brad is pitching on Sunday. So Tim and myself and Ryan Bennett, the late great who owned MMA Weekly, we go to the Dodger game. Brad makes a phone call. Emma Rosa, if anybody remembers who that is, was supposed to throw out the first pitch. Brad gets it changed to Tim Sylvia. So Tim starts to walk to the mound, and I yell at him. I go, Tim, what are you doing? Put the belt on, knucklehead. So he goes out and throws the first pitch wearing the belt, and then he still gets heat for it.
I love that. Yeah. You know, I'm going to definitely show off the belt. BKFC is a huge deal, and I just want to show how big the deal is. And to me, like, this is going to be a dream come true, and I'm only 22 years old. So being able to wrap that belt around my waist is going to be the pinnacle of my career thus far.
Other than, you know, a combat sport and punching somebody in the noggin, what is one of your other favorite sports? I'm already thinking how I can get you in the belt, either on the mound or on the ice.
Yeah, I am a huge, this is kind of a sport, depending on how you see it, fishing. Fishing is absolutely cool. Hockey is, I love the violence of it. So you mentioned ice. Hockey's pretty cool. And then what's another sport that I watch? It's MMA, but I mean, that's combat sports, and you said not combat sports related. It's football. I always play fantasy football, but you know what I mean? I'm so busy with my training always. I really don't make time for other things. It's kind of sad.
I know what we can set up. Matt, what we'll do is we'll set up, you know, after Kai wins the belt, we'll bring him to a Buccaneer game. And you know how they do that thing in between, like halftime, and they have the big owl from Hooters.
Yeah.
And they hand you the football and you have to hit the dodging Hooter.
Yeah.
That's what we'll have Kai do. Wearing the belt. So he's got to wear the belt.
Wearing the belt.
Wearing the belt, and you have to throw the ball to hit the Hooters mascot.
It's hard to throw the ball when your fingers are greasy from the chicken wings.
Well, no, you eat after.
Oh,
since you mentioned fishing, what did you think about those two guys that cheated in all the fishing tournaments?
I hate cheaters in every sport. It just takes away from how hard people will work to learn. Like, fishing's tough. Like, we're grinding out here in Montana just trying to learn the walleye habits, because it is different than anywhere, so we can't just YouTube it like most places. And so, you know, competing in anything is tough, so anywhere that there's cheaters just kind of takes away the fun of it, you know?
All right. We just met for the first time. I don't know if this is considered cheating or not. I've told our fishermen, if you ever come to Tampa, we'll take you fishing. So we have fishing captains here. My son's father-in-law is the head fishing captain at Walt Disney World. So we can take you on the lakes at Disney. We can take you into the ocean. We can take you bow fishing, you know, the whole nine yards. But is using a range, radar, rangefinder was just a golf. Is that cheating when you have a machine telling you where the fish are?
At this point, most people have those, at least up to some capacity. So I personally wouldn't consider that cheating. But shoving weights down a fish's throat is definitely cheating.
That's definitely cheating. And you know who the only person that doesn't have the radar finder in fishing is? The captain that we spent $2,000 with in Key West. Because we caught nothing.
Really?
We were out for 4 hours and caught absolutely nothing. Talk about... nothing. It was awful. He didn't move. You know, where most captains, you know, if you're not catching something, they're going to move. This guy didn't leave. We sat in the same area.
Wow.
So we almost threw him overboard to catch him. Tell us a little bit about the fight, you know, on Friday. You know, not game plans per se, because game plans change. As soon as you throw the first punch, whatever happens might not be what you were even thinking. What's your thought process? What are you thinking when you knuckle up on Friday?
You know, I'm prepared for everything. I put everything I have into this. And as soon as the ref says knuckle up, it's all focused. It's all my fight IQ. I can, like I've said before, I have plans A through Z just on lock, and it does, like you said, the game plans change. That's why you got to have different game plans for different setups. I just have to keep a level head and put a smile on my face and knock this dude out. Like, that's the plan.
Which style would you say you represent? Bare knuckle boxing, or a lot of fighters, they're really not boxing, they're just brawling. You know, they're throwing haymakers nonstop. Which is basically your style, or both?
I there's a level of both that you have to have, but I'm definitely a bare knuckle boxer, which is a nice little blend of Greco wrestling and boxing is kind of how I put it. And I was a pretty dang good Greco wrestler, and I would love to show some clinch work. I would love to throw some big punches. I'd love to just put on a technical display, because I am the best in the division, and I want to prove that once again Friday night.
Let's touch base next week, and if you're going to come down to Florida June 23rd in Miami, let's touch base. Let's get you to come to Tampa first. I'll find a hotel for you, put you on the show live here on a Wednesday, and you know, let's have a good time.
Absolutely, that would be groovy. I will just hit me up next week then, and hopefully I got a big old belt, you know, to show off.
And if you grab the belt, we're going to 7-Eleven after midnight.
Let's go. I'm there. I would love a Slurpee right now. I've cut a lot of weight. I'm ready.
Real quick story. So I played competitive softball. We had our shortstop's kind of legendary in the golf world. Goes by the name of Tiger. Steve Monroe is his name. Google him. He's unbelievable. So he goes into 7-Eleven, and it was right after a game. It was starting to get dark, and we said, if you come running out, we're taking off.
We're out.
Kai, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a care package from Bucked Up Energy Drink. Enjoy the process. Enjoy the next couple days. Have fun on Friday, and send me a photo of you holding that belt.
I absolutely will. Thank you so much for having me on, and I look forward to hearing from you.
We will talk again. That is Kai Stewart, and I can relate to him. His nickname,
Outcast.
The Outcast. Let's go hit a quick break, and then 15 minutes of Just Matt. I can hardly wait to kill myself. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. We'll be back.
Talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
What's up, guys? This is Justin the Highlight Gaethje, and you're about to get KO'd by Knockout Radio.
Looking forward to more. Going to see Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje in Salt Lake City. Or going to Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City is cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's, I mean, I always thought it was like all Mormons and like weird people and stuff.
Well, they have a bunch of books there too.
What do you mean?
Book of Mormon.
Oh, well, yeah, they're talking about, Peter Funt earlier was talking about like, you know, books and like, you know, I was like, it's not current. I mean, I don't know if Canada Camera is going to be like current. Like, are they going to do reels and shorts and stories
probably
on social media?
Probably.
Because if they bring back just wholesome, you know, little pranks on the street.
Like, well, that's what the guy we had on not too long ago, the imposter, whatever it was.
Oh,
called.
Yeah, Joe Gatti.
Yeah,
Gatti.
Right. So it's basically the same thing. Yeah, I think they will do that kind of stuff.
Because America's changed. It's not the wholesome, you know, like slapstick, like waiting by a bus stop and you interact. Like now people will shank you. Or like,
oh, yeah, like the guy in Europe who breaks into houses and videotapes it. Oh. And to him, that's funny.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And then when he gets shot, the guy who shoots him is going to go to jail. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy.
It's crazy.
I meant to talk about this last week, and I don't remember what game it was for, a national title or a collegiate title or something. I don't remember. So home team is batting.
Okay.
Home team is losing by a run.
Okay.
So it's the bottom of whatever, seventh, ninth, whatever it was.
Okay.
Runner on second, okay, two outs.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Batter swings at strike three.
Okay.
Catcher drops the ball.
Okay.
Okay. Catcher goes to tag runner.
Uh-huh.
Runner just stands there and then takes off for first base.
Okay.
They now run to the mound and celebrate. And you're watching these little road runners running around the bases.
Right.
So the guy from second comes and scores.
Right.
The batter rounds the bases and scores.
Okay.
So the team that was in the field is jumping up and down like they just won.
Sure.
Now the umpires are all in a huddle, and everybody is screaming and hollering.
They never tagged them.
Well, they never tagged them. No. And so
it was a lot of play.
The home team won.
It's like the Doug Flutie band on the field. The play is still alive.
Well, it wasn't Doug Flutie, but whatever.
Was it?
No.
Who was the Boston College?
Doug Flutie was Boston College. The band wasn't on the field for Boston College.
No, but you know,
the band was on the field for Stanford and the trees. Was. Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. Let the truth get in the way of a good story.
I just said that today. I just said that I never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
That is the West Sims.
But yeah, so I mean, until the play is over, until the game is official. I mean, I don't know if it's real. I mean, but then again, you have like sports, like racing. You know, like they don't even declare it till after the cars have all finished. Then they record it. They make sure. Then they announce the winner. Like there's like a little buffer period.
Well,
for accountability to make sure you get it right.
Well, that's not really true because the car goes into, you know, the circle, the winner circle, and then they go and weigh the car and all that stuff. So you can still cheat. You know, when they heavy the car up or the things they do. You know, the one car got penalized because he had too many hot pockets in the microwave.
Yeah, that's
took a snap.
That was your car.
Snack, yeah.
That was your car.
That was the van.
Speaking of sponsorships, I can see you driving a car sponsored by Hot Pocket.
I would.
I mean, you look like a Hot Pocket spokesperson. If I ever saw a Hot Pocket spokesperson, I'd be like, that's Rand.
If I really got to be sponsored, I want to drive a Domino's car so I can get some really good pizza.
Yeah, or you could like swim in the chocolate fountain, you know, be Golden Corral's golden boy.
The problem with Golden Corral, and I have to be very careful.
Because you love it.
I would love to go to Golden Corral that they show on TV.
Yeah, not the one.
Right?
Right.
It's like any of it, though. You go to any, you know, and I don't want to say names and then get sued, but, you know, there's like a roast beef sandwich place.
Looks so good.
Which is outstanding, and it looks fantastic. And then you get there, and there's like two slices.
Yeah.
It's like, where's the meat? Or, yeah, beef. Where's the beef?
That's the Wendy's.
Yeah.
Where's the that lady? They should bring that lady back for Candid Camera.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's dead.
Like, but I know they didn't have vegans back then. But if two vegans disagree, is it still called beef?
Oh my god! Oh my god! That.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. I'll be performing live.
Went to the Bucks yesterday.
Yes,
OTAs.
$1.
Interesting. I don't see any way Baker Mayfield is not your starting quarterback.
Yeah, he's a star.
And then I was talking to another media person who said that somebody shot some video, you know, which we're allowed to shoot like the first half an hour.
Right.
And Baker Mayfield threw two bad passes back to back.
Okay.
They put it on social media and it had like 2 million hits.
Sure.
And this person said, I don't get it. I said, I'll explain it to you. People want to watch you fail.
Yeah, of course.
You know, Baker could hit 45,000 passes in a row.
Yeah.
He throws two incompletes that may not even have been his fault. You know, that's the old Winston thing. You know, when he had the 612 interceptions in five throws.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of times it bounced off of the receiver.
Sure.
It's not the quarterback's fault. So I don't know whose fault those two passes were, but over 2 million hits of Baker throwing two incomplete passes.
That's the world we live in. People want you to be successful as long as you're not more successful than them.
Or period.
What?
No, I'm saying period.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who it is. They want you to fail.
Yeah.
It's not even that they don't want you to be as successful as.
That's why I want to go to the psychic and see who my haters are. I'm like, can you identify?
All right, hold on.
Well, I know it's you.
How much money do you have in your pocket?
Well, like $30.
All right, $30. I'll give you a reading right now.
Okay.
Give me the $30.
Here's my hands.
Give me the $30. All right.
Well, I'll give you an IOU.
First of all, they're dirty as hell.
Because I'm a wrench.
God.
I'm a monkey wrench.
You are a monkey.
What do they call those people?
You just said so that they can tell you who your hater is.
Grease monkeys.
Let me tell you.
Yes.
It's me.
Well, I know it's you.
Well, then give me my $30.
I know it's you.
Everybody knows.
It's just like, but here's the problem. It's the jealousy that you aren't me.
It's
I wish I was younger and was that talented at that age and recognized my brilliance and put it out for the world to see.
There are so many things I would say. I know my wife doesn't listen, so I could say it and get away with it. But
that's why we talked about the 900 number earlier. The sky, the sports radio
yeah,
info.
Sure.
Didn't you call the 49ers getting info on a 900 number once?
No. First of all, the NFL team doesn't have a 900 number.
Didn't you call to get information on a second round guy for like drafting?
Yeah.
For like
what
fantasy?
Does that have to do with a 900 number?
Just saying that's like
yeah. I called the same. I called it not a phone. Well, yeah, back then it probably was. You know, that's when long distance was 32 cents a minute or something.
I don't know if Canada Camera can do what they used to do because there's no pay phones, phone booths, glass places for Superman to change clothes. You know, where am I going to change in between episodes?
Yeah, the day when you would call home just to let him know that you're alive.
Or you had to borrow a quarter to call home?
No, you call collect.
Oh, wow. Well, I didn't have those kind of parents.
Well, no, you don't accept a call.
Oh, okay. Well,
you would call collect, and they would say, I'm sorry, that person's not here. And now your parent knows that you're safe back at school or on the ship or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, I didn't have a quarter to call either, and it was more than a quarter. We have a collect call from prison. Oh, that's nice to know. Okay. No, we don't accept it.
But the glass phone booth, so it was a thing. I mean, on the corners, you would like close the door and then like people would watch you talk on a phone.
Some had closed doors.
Can we bring that back? Can we invent like a portable phone booth that we could just set
don't
up
even
on the
go,
corner?
Hold on. Don't even go that far back. I remember having a beeper.
Yeah.
And you got the beep and then you had to pull over and go to the phone booth.
But if we put a portable phone booth on the corner, we could record for a candid camera.
Nobody would know what it is.
No, we would just stand there and everybody would watch us on our phone talking. I mean, it'd be brilliant. And then the people driving by, we'd just be standing talking.
The best part of this segment is it's over.
What do you mean?
Final break of the afternoon. Thank goodness for that.
Put me in. I'm a star.
Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. We'll be right back.
This is Curtis Razor Blades, UFC heavyweight. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Deontay the Bronze Bomber Wilder, WBC Heavyweight Champion of the World, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. Bam, baby. Good night.
Final segment here coming to you live from the tournament to Jeff Pizza. Can we please, the MMA world, the boxing world, the combat sports world, could you all stop? Dana, I love you to death. Stop. Tyson Fury is not going to fight John Jones in the octagon.
Right.
He has said that.
It's never going to happen.
John Jones is not going to fight Tyson Fury in a boxing ring.
Correct.
Let it go.
We did this, the Mayweather-McGregor experimentation. Like, we've tried this.
And again, anybody with half a brain.
Who did James Tomey fight? Didn't he?
Randy Couture.
Yeah. I mean, we've done this. They've always wanted to do this.
There is no boxer that will beat an MMA fighter in an MMA fight. None. There is no MMA fighter is going to beat a boxer of equal status.
We have a chance because in boxing it's just one punch, and you're having the same discipline. Where I agree, the MMA guy has all the superior advantage because the wrestling, the control, the ground control, the leverage, just being comfortable on the ground, on the back. You know, my master in Lakeland always said that he was a shark and that the ground is his ocean and most people don't know how to swim. So that's the difference between MMA and boxing.
Well, of course. And as you know, since you're Brazilian this week, all fights end on the ground. And that's the saying. Well, a guy that's boxed his whole life, he's never... And I don't even care about training for 6 months. I mean, you can't train 6 months and then go take on a number five ranked, not John Jones. Right. John Jones is the greatest MMA fighter of all time. I'm saying to take on a top five MMA fighter and expect to win because you're not going to win. Could you land that one punch? Yeah, you could. Right. But I don't see it happening.
Speaking of the greatest MMA fighter of all time.
John Jones?
The guy he lost to, Matt Hamill, sent me a message the other day.
Good.
It was nice to talk to Matt.
Good.
So
good for him.
He beat your greatest of all time, but it's fine.
First of all, you obviously didn't talk to Matt Hamill because Matt Hamill will tell you he didn't beat John Jones. He did. In the record books, he did. But he didn't beat him.
I would say, though, I messaged him. He didn't hear what I said.
You know, I once did a show with Matt Hamill.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean,
he's amazing.
Fans would call in. They'd ask the question. I typed the question to Matt, who was online, and then he would answer it. Matt's a good dude.
Matt, he's the best. And he beat the greatest champion of all time.
Kind of funny. They were at a international fight week. I remember it vividly. And so I'm over talking to Matt. And, you know, he reads lips and such. So we're talking. And then he started to turn his attention to something else. And I said, all right, Matt, I'll talk to you later. And he didn't respond. And for a long time, I was pissed. Seriously. Because we would look at each other talking. And then I found out he looked away. He didn't know. And then I still have video. We're interviewing Matt in California when they used to do the open workouts, which were always stupid to me.
Yeah.
You know, they'd do a 3-minute half-ass thing and then they'd be interviewed. So we're trying to interview Matt Hamill and inside the ring, we're like the distance that you are from me is about 3.5-4 feet. That's the distance between us talking to Matt Hamill and the octagon and the fighter who was beating up a blue dummy. You know, the big dummy things. And Diego Sanchez is screaming, yes, yes. We're like, dude, could you shut up so that, you know, we could try to, you know, he's trying to read our lips and stuff. You know, it was pretty funny. The video is awesome. Hall of Famers. I said I was going to bring this up real quick. And before I forget, word of the day, bucked up.
I forgot. We forgot to ask.
Can I finish?
Yeah.
Bucked up is the word. Either tweet it to us, Facebook it to us. You just have to say bucked up. You don't have to say anything else. Register, pair of tickets, UFC, Jacksonville, June 24th. We'll do the drawing on Sunday.
I was going to ask about Jim Miller, his quick work last week of...
Who are you going to ask?
42nd MMA fight. You?
Okay.
You know, like, because you put a post this week, like, just because you have a lot of fights mm-hmm. or wins.
Well, and that's what I was just started to bring that up.
A Hall of Famer.
Well, they're calling Andre Arlovsky a Hall of Famer.
He's a former heavyweight champ.
That, you know, to me, Andre Arlovsky is not a Hall of Famer.
He's a journeyman.
Yeah.
For a long time.
And I'm not trying to, you know.
He was a champ, though.
He was a champ.
Didn't he do it twice? Did he get it back? Did he do it twice?
I think they both won it twice. I think. I could be wrong. Just because you're a champion doesn't make you a Hall of Famer.
I think he deserved that. In the heavyweight division? In the UFC?
What?
I mean, but there wasn't all these other promotions back then. It was just the UFC. So, like, you were fighting the best league in the world, and you won your title twice.
And there was two
a long
good,
career?
There was two good fighters back then. Tim Sylvia and Andre Arlovsky.
I mean...
And that's who they wanted. I'm just saying, I don't believe...
You're not going to put him in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think they will. I think the UFC will put him in.
They have to.
I think Jim Miller will go in the Hall of Fame just because of longevity.
Right.
But that doesn't make you a great fighter. I mean, we don't really know. Now, in Jim Miller's case, how many wins does he have?
40. Well, I don't know. He's fought 42 times.
Right. And he has the most wins in UFC history.
Well, he has the records.
And that's the difference between him and Andre Arlovsky. Andre Arlovsky, to me, falls into the category of a journeyman. And yes, it's remarkable that he's still fighting. And we thought 2-3 years ago he was done. And then he strung out a couple, losing Saturday night.
I mean, I get it. Because, I mean, but you can have some entry-level prelim fight that is the fight of the night. That's the best fight you've ever seen, maybe.
What's that mean?
What it means, but then they do nothing else with the rest of their career after
right.
that.
They're not Hall of Famers.
So,
and that's why I continue to say, and I'm sure at some point some of my closest friends, Frank Trigg, Clay Guida, Diego Sanchez, they're going to punch me in the face when I say you're not a Hall of Famer.
You're going to say Steve Lenay?
He's not a fighter in the Hall of Fame wing.
Well, you don't know that.
No, I do know who's in the
wing. Have you seen the whole list? You know
yes.
all of them?
Yes.
None of them are Steve Lenay?
And having a fight in the fight wing of the UFC MMA Hall of Fame is not making you a UFC Hall of Famer.
Do they have a wing in the UFC Hall of Fame for a... commentator, ring announcer,
I knew you were going to say
radio show personalities?
No.
Are we inducted in this whole
First of all, you will never be in the UFC.
They'll say never.
Never.
Look, you're the just because you don't like me. You're my biggest hater, right? But you're the reason, like, remember when I bought that Corvette and I thought that buying a Corvette was a good strategy to network with other successful people who appreciate quality and American-made products to network with them and to grow my circle of influence?
I'm going to turn this mic down. Ask Matt to name 10 UFC fighters, and he'll stop after John Jones and Matt Hamill.
And then they hated me because they're like, oh, this guy has the same car I worked my whole life for, and he's got it at 30, and he's just won his bodybuilding show. He's got the body I never had. He has the car that it took me 70 years to acquire, and I don't want to talk to him because I hate that guy because he's already got everything I got.
No, I don't
and
think...
that's how I feel like you've treated me.
No, I don't hate you for those reasons. I just hate you because you're an idiot.
That's not true.
It is.
I'm great.
That's the problem.
And I can name 10 UFC fighters, of course.
All right, name 10 bantamweight fighters.
Oh, bantamweight? Are those the ones with the purple ball?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I don't know. But look, I know there's Dana White. And
that's it.
That's it.
Okay.
That's all I need.
That's all you need. No, Drew, that, I'm not denying
that's all
that.
You need.
Not denying that at all. Tim Sylvia has a his upcoming slap fight.
Yeah.
He has another one coming up.
So what do you win in the slap fight? You get a belt or like, you know, maybe they should get like a bracelet. You know, something they can wear like while they're competing.
I would imagine a gold bracelet would cost a lot of money the size of Tim Sylvia's wrist. You know?
Yeah, that would be worth his weight in gold.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe the Saudis could sponsor it. Buy the slap boxing league and then it'd be cheap.
Thoughts on this weekend's UFC? We had two fighters on.
Don't want to touch the Saudi thing.
Amanda fights on Saturday.
Who does?
Amanda. Have you heard of her?
Nunes?
Amanda Nunes.
So is she the Hall of Famer? Because she lost her belt and went and got it back?
Yeah, she's a Hall of Famer.
Why? Why Orlovsky not and Amanda, yes?
I'm going to say...
Because of her dominance?
A, because of her dominance. Okay. B, because she held two belts. Not just one. She held two. Two at the same time. You know, which it's a big enough thing when you go up or down in division, whatever, and win another one.
But they didn't do that back when Orlovsky was around. There was no double champ, so Connor came around.
Well, that's true.
So, I mean, it was a different era. It was a different sport. You couldn't compete a different.
But who died and said that? We don't know. Somebody didn't think about that.
No, but it just wasn't part of it. I mean,
nobody thought of it.
It wasn't the norm back then. And now it's the norm. Now you can have guys that have two, three different division belts, and it's a different.
I just don't think Andre Orlovsky was dominant. Dominant. It was him and Tim Sylvia at the time. To me, a Hall of Famer is a legend, and only legends should be Hall of Famers, not Hall of Pretty Good.
Did you do something above Hall of Fame? Like, I saw your boy, Tiki Barber. He was Hall of Somewhat Good. He was on Wheel of Fortune last night.
Was he in the Hall of... No, I know he's not in the Hall, but I'm saying, you really believe he's Hall of Pretty Good?
Tiki Barber? That's a good. I mean, if you say top NFL running backs, top 10, he's not coming up.
No.
Ever.
No. Like, and that's my thing about any Hall of Fame, and you know, we're using the NFL as a reference. If you go to 100 people and you say name and pick a number, it don't matter, 10 running backs.
99.
Pick 99 people. And if they don't name, then they're not Hall of Famer. I'm sorry.
Nah, maybe they just got the words wrong. Maybe they got the letters wrong. Because he was on WOF, which is Wheel of Fortune. Not HOF, which is Hall of Fame.
So it's been a while since Chidi Ahanotu has been in the media. So
Chidi.
So he posted again.
Is that because I mentioned 99 and that brought up Warren Sapp?
Well, I meant to talk about it.
The third best Buccaneer of all time?
First of all, Warren may disagree with that because when we spoke on Sunday, he would say top two. I say top. I say
Warren Sapp. Brady up there. Brady's best Buccaneer ever to wear the uniform.
You are such
greatest of all time.
I'm going to have a.
Tarot reading.
No, no. When somebody applies for a job, what's that called? An interview session. I have to replace you.
There's no way.
I have to.
Why?
Because first of all, it's stupid.
Why? Why the? It's talking about who wore the shield. Who wore the brand? Tampa Bay Buccaneer of all time, the greatest athlete,
the greatest
at the skilled position,
the greatest
to
Buccaneer
ever do it as a Buccaneer.
The greatest Buccaneer of all time is Warren Sapp.
In your opinion?
In my opinion.
In your opinion?
Right.
I bet you, if you ask the general public, Tom Brady or Warren Sapp, which one's a better Buccaneer?
You know why? Because people don't like Warren Sapp.
They both won one Super Bowl.
They
don't like me. Well, you don't like me, but it doesn't mean I'm not great.
No, you're not great, and I don't like you. People will say negative things about Warren Sapp because of what he did off the field, not what he did on the field. And they were both just as dominant, and it's hard to compare different positions.
Yeah.
Tom Brady will not go down as a Buccaneer. He's going to go in the Ring of Honor, I guarantee it.
They both got one ring.
He's going to go in the Ring of Honor, no question, because it sells tickets, it sells jerseys, it sells. Okay. But Chidi made some comments about Warren Sapp's book. And that there's 7 pages of lies.
Ooh.
And I found that interesting, you know, because typically when somebody lies, you would go after them.
Cease and desist.
Well, cease and desist.
Or slander.
Slander or whatever.
Defamation character.
It's the same things that have been said forever. So I did respond. Chidi put in there that Warren texted him, and Warren says he doesn't have Chidi's number. But Chidi said that Warren texted him and said that it had to be MMA.
Right.
Just when they were going to fight.
Right. They were going to do boxing and MMA, and then it was like back and forth.
Well, here's the thing. I texted Chidi 100
times. Can you make it happen?
I could have made it happen.
Can we make it happen now?
Well, that's right. You were in bed with the guy who claimed to be
I'll
whatever.
Train both of them equally like I do.
First of all, I would not allow Warren to get anywhere near your truck.
Are you crazy? You don't want
to
win?
Can I finish?
That's fine.
So... I told Chidi Ahanotu that I texted him, and I texted the guy that claimed he was going to put the event together, which he was never going to put the thing together. The only way that fight was ever going to happen is if I did it.
So let's do it.
And it's past that. What Warren is has washed his hands.
They're still talking. They're still doing it.
No, Chidi's talking.
I didn't wash my hands.
They're, I know
they're
that.
Covered in grease.
Chidi's talking. Warren's past it. Warren is enjoying life. Warren's going scuba diving for treasures, like in Bermuda. Warren's living a good life. Chidi needs to get back in the media, get back, you know, being talked about, and he's doing it. It's like my old, who I liked more than the new co-host, always wanted to be talked about, and that's the case with Chidi. He just wants to be talked about.
Well, let's get it signed. Like,
not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It will never happen.
I'll do the ring announcing.
It's not going to happen. Warren said the only way it's going to happen is if I do it. I'm not doing it. It's not going to happen. Warren's too old to do that.
Give it up for a Super Bowl ring. I have a note from the live studio audience. I think Tony Dungy was the greatest Buccaneer ever.
Luckily, the show's over.
And he won a Super Bowl for the Bucs. It's amazing. That guy went up to Indy.
See? He does that just to piss me off.
And then I was with Gary Brackett, who sold his Super Bowl ring.
Tony Dungy
during COVID.
Gets no credit for the Super Bowl. None. Zero. None. Real quick story, because we're going to run out. Tony Dungy, the big disciplinarian, I used to sit in the parking lot and watch players come to practice late. Tony did nothing. Best thing the Bucs did was let him go. Great man. We'll leave it at that. All right. Luckily, we're done. And I'm so glad. This has been Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. Text me, Facebook me, just the word Bucked Up, and you will register to win June 24th UFC tickets. Goodbye. Hey, little sister, what have you done?